Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by United Way. Whether it's helping a single mom in Dundalk keep her home or giving a bright student in Sandtown a chance to be his best, United Way fights for families. Help them win the fight. Visit uwcm.org/fight.
This is Dan Rodericks of the Baltimore Sun with episode 436 of the Roughly Speaking podcast. So, I like to cook. I guess you know that. And every now and then, we talk about food on this show with John Shields and Henry Hong. Today, it might seem a little odd, but in the spirit of adventure, something new, I ask the question, is there such a thing as Chesapeake crab chowder? We know there's crab soup. We know there's cream of crab soup. What about crab chowder?
Very interesting.
Look, I like chowder.
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 I make a mean codfish chowder.
Chowder.
And a pretty good clam chowder.
Chowder.
Why not a crab chowder?
Like, why the hell not? Why the hell not? Why the hell not? Why the hell not?
And if we were to create such a hearty dish, how would we do it? Down south a bit in Virginia, there's a corn and crab chowder. I found a couple of chefs on YouTube with similar recipes.
I got the pot started getting hot here. We got wonderful crab. Crab from Virginia is as good as it gets anywhere in the world. But we've also got good Virginia corn and good Virginia potatoes to go into that. Now we want to get them started because potatoes are taking a while to cook.
We're going to make a corn and crab chowder. Now if you leave the potatoes out, it'll work just as well. The soup's going to taste as great. But we're going to, well, I'll show you. There's a little secret. The way I add the potatoes to this dish, it serves a couple of purposes. But let's start with the foundation of the soup. But we're going to start with a fish stock.
Also, in poking around the internet, I found a couple of brothers from the Jersey Shore, the Pasquarella brothers.
Hi, I'm Anthony Pasquarella.
And I'm Gino Pasquarella. We are the Pasquarella brothers.
Who offered a recipe for crab chowder.
Today we'll be making a New Jersey crab chowder.
I listened, I watched. All those guys made pretty much was Chesapeake crab soup with potatoes in.
You don't have to put potatoes in, though, but definitely wouldn't be a chowder without potatoes.
As you know, clam chowder is a common and popular dish in New England. I don't know why we couldn't have a Chesapeake crab chowder. So I went to see John Shields at Gertrude's Restaurant because he's an expert in Chesapeake cuisine. He's written books about it. In fact, John has a beautiful new book out, The New Chesapeake Kitchen. And while the book doesn't have a recipe for crab chowder, John provided me one, and he had his soup chef, Yolanda Johnson, make some when I visited Gertrude's. Okay. So I had a line in my column on Sunday. Nothing takes the chill off like chowder. Nothing takes off the chill like chowder. I haven't figured out exactly what is more poetic. Nothing takes off the chill like chowder. In Massachusetts, we say chowder. So John, first of all, what do you think distinguishes a chowder from soup?
Well, I think most people think of the addition of potatoes. Potatoes seem to be the factor that kind of gives the thickness to the soup that then becomes a chowder as opposed to a stew. You could call it a seafood stew, but no, we call it a chowder.
I've been thinking about this. I can't think of a soup besides cream of potato soup or leek potato soup. I'm sure there are soups with potatoes, but I can't think of one.
No, I mean, you know, besides vichyssoise and your puree in that usually, but there's not many, you know, so it's the potato and the chowder, they go side by side.
It's chicken noodle soup. It's not chicken potato soup.
It is.
So in Manhattan clam chowder, are there small potatoes in Manhattan clam chowder?
They do. They're really finely diced, small diced potatoes in the Manhattan clam chowder. But it's almost like our red crab soup, but with the potatoes in it. And
okay, that's what I was going to get at.
Yeah.
The Maryland crab soup does not have potatoes.
Well, we put some in ours, but we don't call it a chowder. It's just Maryland crab soup because it's everything but the kitchen sink from the farmer's market. All the vegetables that are there. But we still don't call it a chowder or a seafood stew. It's a soup, Maryland crab soup.
I ask you this, Mr. Chesapeake culinary expert. Classic Chesapeake crab soup, does that include potatoes? Or is that your own touch, adding diced potatoes?
No, it includes it. It definitely includes it. You know, Miss Jean from Cross Street Market, hers had it. Gertie's, my grandmother, she always had some potatoes in it. So it's not heavy with potato. It's just a little bit of potato in it. But I think it and if you put a little barley in there, it's the thing that gives the broth a little consistency, a little
depth.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So if you were going to make a crab chowder, like a clam chowder, which I grew up with, and I just recently made a really nice seafood chowder that I want to tell you about. But if you're going to make a crab chowder, how would you make a crab chowder? How would you put it on the menu? What would it look like?
Well, it would basically be a cousin to a cream of crab soup, which is made with a crab stock. You want to have a good crab stock so you get the flavor, and then cream. And usually we make a roux to tighten it. Now, for a chowder, the way I would pretty much approach it is take a little bit of butter, some diced onions and celery, maybe some carrots or not, and saute those in the butter. I might put a little bit of flour in, just a touch, to make a semi-roux. And then I'd put in the crab stock, and then the cream, and then thicken it, and then add the diced potatoes, you know, so that as it's cooking through, it will tighten up. But I don't put the crab in until the very last, for about the last 15 minutes of simmering, because you don't want to overcook the crab meat.
And then you could even add a little bit of crab garnish on top as well, couldn't you? Could you warm up a little bit of crab meat and just sprinkle it on top?
Oh, you could. You could saute a little bit of crab meat and some more butter and put that on top. You could put a little sherry in with that. That gives it a nice flavor. One that I've done for years is a crab and corn chowder. So with sweet corn on it. And then sometimes what I'll do is take the crab stock and then take the cobs, the ears of corn that the kernels have been cut off, and let that simmer to make kind of a corn and fish chowder, a stock, and it gives a really wonderful flavor to the soup. I also got one from Barbara at Neapole, where she took a little bit of smoked rockfish and put that in with it as well. So you have crab, you have the smoked rockfish, and I put a little bit of the skin from the smoked rockfish in the stock just to simmer it for just a little bit, so you get a little bit of smokiness. So that's the nice thing about chowders. They're playful. You can do this and that and the other thing with them. That's what I love about them.
Me too. I mean, I just made one. I want to tell you what I did. I had a nice piece, maybe 2 pounds of codfish, fresh cod. And the gas went out at my house. The 100-year-old gas line into my house decided to collapse on a Sunday when I was getting ready to cook this cod chowder, a seafood chowder. So I did it all in the oven in a pan. I put the cod in there with my stock, and the stock I had made from, well, I steamed some shrimp. I didn't really have fish stock, so I went with the shrimp flavor. And I guess you could say it ended up tasting more like shrimp than cod, but there was a nice blend of it. I put potatoes with it and onions, some celery, and then I added corn. It was frozen corn. It was the only thing I had, but the corn added to the richness of it and the potatoes. And it worked really great in the oven. It came out of a pan in the oven, and everybody liked it.
That sounds awesome. Well, I mean, a lot of times chowders and soups like that were actually made in kind of the open fire and covered, so it was like an oven. So they don't always have to be done on top of the stove.
So what did you make, knowing I was going to ask you this question, the difference between soup and a chowder, and how would you make a crab chowder? It looks to me like you've been working on something here in the kitchen.
Yeah, well, our soup queen, the Patapsco River soup queen, that would be Yolanda Johnson over here.
Hello, Yolanda.
She's the best soup maker in the world, actually. But so what we did, her cream of crab is just unbelievable. So I said, well, Dan's coming over. Let's make this. And how can we turn this into a chowder? So she did. Yolanda likes bacon. Do you like bacon? Yes.
I like, so, I'm doing a chowder. Especially if I got cream in it, I'm thinking New England clam chowder. And that the difference in that is that you use bacon grease in there.
A lot of people don't know that. You actually start with bacon grease.
With your roux, with bacon, and you brown your roux with the grease from here. like bacon grease, the same way we do on like our oyster stew, also is done with bacon. But I just put something in there just for the flavor. And then I added a little couple other things, a little bit of salt, pepper, sauteed up some onions and celery, added some black pepper, a couple dashes of Tabasco.
And you have stock?
Yes.
And cream, right?
Yes, I did a crab stock.
And it's crab stock?
Yes.
Okay, and then when did you add the crab? Toward the end?
Oh, I just added it before y'all got here. That way it can cook through to get the flavor. So you should keep seeing nice chunks of crab in there. I'm gonna add
that
some
looks
more
really good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so that's how to do it.
It's relatively easy. That's the nice thing about, you know, about chowders, and they don't have to be that complicated, but they are satisfying. Yeah, I love
nothing them. Takes the chill off like chowder.
Chowder.
All right, John. Yolanda, thank you very much, and now we're going to have to taste that. And let me get a picture of that so people can see it. And I guess we can whip up a recipe to put online with this. Huh?
We can. I think we can get that. Yeah, I have one. I'll send it your way.
Thank you, John.
All right, thanks, Dan. It's fun. Let's chow down on the chowder.
So there you go. You can find the recipe for John Shields' idea for a crab chowder in the notes with this podcast. There's also a video of Yolanda Johnson serving a portion, so you can get a look at it. All of that's at BaltimoreSun.com. And I'm thinking of making some this weekend. I'll let you know how it goes. If you give it a try, let me know how it goes in your kitchen. You can reach me at drodricks@baltsun.com. For producers Steve Early and Hallie Miller, thanks for listening to Roughly Speaking, and we'll see you again soon.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodricks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy welcomes you to the first annual Festival of Jewish Literature, sponsored by J. Moore Magazine and the Ivy Bookshop. Over the course of 11 days, from November 8th to November 18th, a dozen events across Baltimore will feature fiction, comedy, politics, children's books, and great writers such as Deborah Tannen and Dara Horn. Most events are free and open to the public. For more information, go to festivalofjewishliterature.com or call the Ivy at 410-377-2966. More at theivybookshop.com.